Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit carters.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You think I'm some dummy off the street? Yeah, my era is everything. No, I cover all eras. My nickname, Mr. Era.
Jeff Lutz.
I've been around for 34 years. Longer than most people.
34 years to me is, that happened yesterday. Not in your lifetime.
There's no alternate history where that could have been achieved.
97.5 in 1240 KFH.
Woo-hoo! Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting. Max Bauer, producing, engineering. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Max Power will take your call. Boy, a couple deals that involved the National League Central. Fitting, we're going to have Bernie Miklas on later in the show.
We are?
We sure are.
I'll let you handle that one.
What do you mean you'll Cardinals, let me handle that one?
Cardinals have done nothing. They're irrelevant in this. I mean, these winter meetings, nothing happened.
That's why I want to talk to Bernie.
So I got nothing for Bern.
Do you watch his videos on YouTube ever?
I do not.
Well, that's just awful of you.
I'm not a Cardinals fan. I don't even watch all the YouTube videos our people put up.
Nobody like Bernie.
Zach Meisel's
in hour number two. What?
Zach Meisel's pretty darn good.
Does he do a daily video?
No, but he hosts a podcast with TJ Zuppi.
Bernie does that too with Will Leach. He also does this YouTube video. He also does daily hits on KMOX. He writes a column on an online forum called Scoops Network. The guy's
still after.
Still getting it done,
my
friend.
What's Will Leach up to these days? What's he talking about?
Oh, I don't know. Will Leach is a Cardinals fan.
I understand, but is that just a...
He does some work for MLB.com.
He's a good writer. I've always enjoyed his stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got all that. Joe Jackson from Mays South will join us. We appreciate that. They play today, this evening, against their rival Mays. So we look forward to that. And then later in the hour number two, Joanna Chadwick, at around 3:40 today, will join us to talk about some of the high school games. What are the better high school games in our area tonight?
She's coming on at the end of the show?
Friday 5.
She's not 3:25
today? No, Bernie's 3:25.
Okay. Well, we had South and Heights girls, which I don't expect to be a great game, but South was a 15-game winner last year. They got to the sub-state final, lost to the same team that Heights lost to, Washburn Rural. You had Northwest Southeast boys. You have East Capon boys, McPherson Andover boys, and Mays South.
Okay. Not knowing what other games are out there, you probably ought to give me a ring before.
No. I do my homework. These are the games. And I wrote about
Northwest.
We'll see. I kind of want to see what Southeast has. They've got a guy averaging 19 and 15 through two games.
Well, that's good. Listen, I want the City League to be good, but Northwest looks for real. Like, they look for real enough to be able to really push Heights.
Well, we'll see. Let's see them.
That's my early take. Do you understand
I don't
that?
Disagree, but let's see them play.
Do you understand that?
What did I just say?
Let's just wait and... I'm not that guy.
So you watch Northwest against North and say, oh, that's, yeah.
No, they had another game there.
Against South.
Against a decent team.
South isn't in.
They're not great, but they're not...
South lost their best player.
I want to see what happens. But I think I know what's going to happen. I think Northwest is going to beat Heights at least once this season.
All right.
Write it down, man.
You just can't help yourself, can you? You can't just say, Northwest looks really good. They could get back to state and make some noise. This has got to be this specific
prediction. Because you know what people do when they hear that? When they're listening to the radio, you know what they do? Hey, let's get it over to KYN. Or
yeah, but you just can't
turn on General Hospital.
Help yourself.
I am not going to lose listeners.
Like, I have to take this a bit too far
and damage my credibility. My goal in life is for no one ever to be listening to me on this show and flip the dial.
Okay, well, now that that's happened several dozen times,
what's
your new goal?
I can probably live with that.
Well, dozen is 12, and then several could be 100.
So 1,200 times.
Yeah, probably.
I don't want people to flip the dial. I almost have a...
They're flipping it right now because you're going nuts.
No, I'm not going nuts.
You're going down a dangerous path.
What's it called when you have a phobia? I have a phobia against that.
You're going to have to learn how to deal with it.
I sometimes have nightmares.
No, you don't. See, again, you just can't quite help yourself from taking it one step too far. That there, Bob, now he's making stuff up. Now he's not telling us the truth. And we don't know what to believe.
There is a truth out there. There's a truth. But if you don't embellish on that truth, it's boring.
Not true.
If you just tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, I'm sorry, but I'm flipping that dial. If you tell the truth, but you kind of dramatize it a little bit and give it a little spice, and you know what I'm saying?
You lose your credibility. Exactly. You can make truth entertaining.
I'm still telling the truth.
No, you're not. You don't have nightmares about whatever you said. And nothing rings true.
Why are you angry again today?
Not angry.
Every day, man.
It's because you just go a little too far. Just rein it in, man.
Do you want me to eliminate our first and 20 segment and go right into something else?
No.
Why? Because this seems to irritate you.
It seems you're irritated.
This is what first and 20 is.
I'm okay with being irritated, though.
What does first and 20 indicate to you?
You committed a 10-yard penalty.
We're looking at 20 yards, and unless we pull something out, unless we go above and beyond.
Unless you throw me the proverbial ball.
Okay, you got the ball. Go.
Nope.
Give us something entertaining.
No, I don't do that.
Something entertaining.
You know I don't do that.
Give us a topic, then.
I don't get put on the spot. You want a topic?
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of on the topic, but we were talking about the Friday Five, and I really tried to highlight the City League. The City League feels a little bit back. We talked for a few years about guys were leaving some of these teams.
Well, write about it.
I did.
You're doing exactly what I did. Don't embellish.
I'm not embellishing. East, Northwest.
Why does it feel back?
Because East, Northwest, and Heights all went to the 6A tournament last year. Capen won the 5A tournament. Dale Faber's back. Steve X is still in the mix. Southeast looks like they're a bit on the rise. It just feels like this is a league that is stronger than it's been in recent years.
Well, you know.
Heights girls are dominant.
Can quantify that. Go for it.
Carroll girls still there. South girls. East girls are a little better. Just feel like it's back.
Maybe. We'll see. I'm not going there yet.
Why?
You went grounded.
You went to Northwest beats Heights.
What do you think of Kyle Tucker to the Cubs for a year before he's a free agent? They gave up one of their very highly thought of prospects, a third baseman named Cam Smith.
Just got drafted.
Isaac Paredes, they gave him up. And they gave up a pitcher. Wisniewski, is that how you say his name?
I don't think there's a W in there. Wisniewski, I believe.
Whatever it is. Cam Smith's big time guy.
Could be.
But the Cubs had to give him up to get arguably one of the three or four best players in the National League now.
Does this signify that Bregman and Bellinger go to the Yankees? And if so, what does that mean?
No, it doesn't signify that.
Kind of does to me.
Arenado's going to go to the Yankees.
He's not going to approve a trade there, and they don't want him.
You watch.
He's not going to the Yankees.
Wait till Bernie's on. I am so into the Cardinals.
But he's not going to the Yankees.
I predict he is.
You're going to be disappointed. Why do you want him? Or why do you want him to go there?
Get him out of the National League. I don't want him to cause trouble.
I think it's trouble-causing
Boston
days are over.
Boston is also very high on my list of potential landing spots for Arenado.
Where's he going to play there?
The Green Monster. They moved Devers to first. Trade
Tristan Casas
trade
at first.
Him for pitching.
Mm.
I'm not the only one saying that. That's what a lot of people
just
are
seems
saying.
Like there's a lot of steps you have to take to get over-the-hill Nolan Arenado in your lineup.
They've been talking to Seattle. It looks like there's a strong chance that they're going to acquire one of those Seattle pitchers, most likely Castillo. But we'll see.
We will see.
And Boston has to get better defensively. Rafael Devers is a great hitter, but not a good defensive player. And if you can lock up, if you get Arenado to play third base, that takes them a long way. Plus, you got the Green Monster, and he's a dead pull hitter. He'll be a much better hitter in Boston.
How are you going to talk him into waiving his no trade clause for teams he said he won't waive his?
He'd go to Boston.
Was that one of the teams?
Sure it was.
I'll have to check that.
Well, you don't have to check anything I say. Then the Brewers, another team that the Cardinals compete with, trade Devin Williams to the Yankees and get Nestor Cortez. I can see Nestor Cortez just starting three games this year against the Cardinals, pitching a total of 17 innings, and allowing about a run.
Maybe. I think
Cardinals can't hit guys like that.
Yeah, but I think he's about done in a sense, too. He wasn't.
Not that old.
Yeah, but he wasn't really on the playoff roster. He kind of was, and he wasn't. He was pitching. They didn't want to use him.
No, I don't think that's accurate, but I don't think that's accurate.
I don't think he was hurt.
I think you've spoken out of line. Of course they're going to use Nestor Cortez.
No, they traded him. They were not. He got taken out of the rotation last year. Don't you remember when he was?
Because he was hurt.
No, because he was not good.
No, he was hurt. But anyway, you asked me, you texted me, what are the Brewers doing? And I'm saying they're being smart.
Pitched 174 innings. I don't think he was that hurt.
They know they're not going to be able to sign Devin Williams. Now, the Cardinals look like they're going to hold on to their guys, their pitchers, Helsley and Fetty. I'm starting to come around to that idea because they might be worth even more at the trade deadline.
Perhaps.
Teams panic at the teams give up more at the trade deadline.
I don't know if that's true or not. There's a lot more teams involved in the bidding in the offseason, prices can go up. But we'll see. I don't know. I'd like Eric Fetty on my team.
Well, what do you give us?
I don't know. I don't know what we have. What do you need?
Oh, we need just young guys. Outfielder, preferably.
Petey Halpin will give you.
I don't want that. I've never heard of that guy.
They just put him on the 40, man.
I've never heard of him.
He's not very good.
So I don't want that guy. Just I'm not interested.
All right. That's fair. Jonathan Rodriguez?
No, I don't want him.
All right.
I don't think you got any good guys.
You do well with Jonathan Rodriguez.
Well, maybe we'll take him then.
He's a good player.
What did I watch? Oh, I watched Iowa State, Iowa last night. My dog needs to go outside, which I'll probably ask you to do when we take a break.
I'm sure you will.
It's fairly obvious that the kid is in need. But I wasn't planning to watch a lot of Iowa State, Iowa. But what a good game.
Wasn't it pretty high scoring?
It was a high scoring game. Iowa State's fun to watch. Iowa just kind of fell apart. They had a big lead in that game and then couldn't score. But, man, I enjoyed watching that game. It just
appeared to be a good game.
I didn't expect to get hooked into that one.
Not your typical, like, Iowa type of game.
No.
You don't think of them as a run-and-gun type team.
I was thankful for that because there weren't any other good games on last night. And we, of course, watched Matlock. And if you're not watching Matlock, you're missing the boat.
What do you think of Matlock?
What are we
going to
do now till January 30th?
I was surprised they didn't leave it on much of a cliffhanger.
Well, there's not a whole lot of cliffhanging they can do.
Sure there is. I just don't like the...
Every actor in that show is good.
I don't like
Kathy Bates is number one.
Alter identity of Kathy Bates. I don't like the sleuth side. I just don't like that part of the show.
Why?
Because I just don't like it. She's lying all the time. She's dishonest.
She's on a mission, man.
Deceptive. I don't like stuff like that.
If you have, fictitiously, of course, a child who you thought had been killed because of attorneys representing the drug industry, you'd do whatever it took.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd do that.
You wouldn't lie?
I don't think I'd try to get in nice with the attorneys and then betray them. And
well, she's trying to find out. She's undercover. Have you ever heard of undercover?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You wouldn't be an undercover police officer.
I'm an overcover guy. I'll tell you,
you
what I'm...
You ever watch the FBI
I'll tell you what
and
I'm
shows
coming for.
Like that?
No, I don't watch the
Some
FBI.
Some of the best stuff is when they're undercover.
But I don't like... I like overcover.
So you don't believe we should use undercover?
It's fine, but this isn't a police mission. This is
a
vigilante.
But she's undercover.
I don't like vigilante stuff.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a vigilante
guy. So you're
off
of Matlock.
No, I'm not off of Matlock. I just don't like that part of the show. I like
that's the show.
I like the trials. I like when she's acting as an attorney. She's being friendly to people. Other people are being friendly to her. And then this other stuff is not for me. But
her relationships with these people, they're real.
I think her husband is an annoying character. I think her grandson's an annoying character.
Oh, my gosh. Love those people. Love them all. I can't believe it.
I'm a big Olympia guy. I like her.
I wish Duda was here to... I know what side he'd be on this.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are on that side. My wife among them. But that part of the show, just I don't like. It irritates
me. Well, that's too bad. That's the show.
It's not going to be, though, season two, right? They're not going to continue this forever.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do in season two.
Either she's just going to be a lawyer or we got to be done with it.
That's why we love watching television. We're at the whim of the producers and the creators as to what happens.
This is true. Just wish
I'm sure Kathy Bates wouldn't be within a mile of this show if she didn't believe
it. Did the original Matlock have like a secondary storyline like that?
No, heavens no.
It was just him being being an attorney. That's all we need.
But we had understories and things like that. I didn't watch Matlock religiously. I watched it enough. I mean, you know
your
me.
Boy Andy Griffith.
I'm a big Andy Griffith fan.
Figured you would have watched it religiously.
I didn't.
You weren't old enough. Maybe you should go back.
No, I was old enough.
No, that's kind of an old people show.
I was old enough. I watched old people shows.
You did?
Sure.
In the 80s?
Name one.
I don't know. A lot of those shows were normal people shows. Now they seem like old people shows, like the Beverly Hillbillies.
I was out at night a lot back Everybody in that era, you understand. Shows.
I suppose. Dick Van Dyke, did you watch a lot of that?
Of course I did.
Growing up?
Of course I did.
He's funny.
Watched almost every episode. Dick Van Dyke, Bewitched. Bewitched was on in the mornings.
Why?
Well, they showed the reruns.
I Dream of Jeannie.
Pretty sure that's right. I Dream of Jeannie was on in the afternoons.
Reruns.
I think.
These are primetime shows.
I'd have to think about all that.
I'll think about it.
They showed reruns of them. Syndicated reruns.
Was there syndication back then?
Sure there was. And just let me say this about Elizabeth Montgomery.
I don't think I believe you. All these soap operas go back to that era.
Look up when Bewitched aired.
Okay.
Sure, it was on in prime time, but it was also on in the mornings.
For what?
The syndicated Bewitched.
Syndicated? That's not syndicated. That's just reruns.
I think you're wrong.
You can't syndicate a show. The show does, it's continued to be in syndication, but I don't know. I don't know.
Right. I do know. I was there.
See, but you sound like you're doubting yourself.
Not at all.
After completing its original run, so after the series was over, ABC Daytime and ABC Saturday Morning continued to air the series until 1973. So it wasn't like the next day or...
I watched it during the daytime.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, that's when. It was.
I don't care when.
Before 1973.
I don't need all the details. I just know I watched it.
Well, now you have some details, and you should feel better about it.
All right, time for a break. Again, Joe Jackson from May South will join us at 2:45. We'll come back and talk about the weekend ahead, some of the NFL, some of the college football, although there's not a lot other than Army-Navy, and some of the college basketball. Wichita State back in action tomorrow at noon, I believe, in Chicago to face DePaul.
That's correct.
Very interesting game, in my opinion. I'll tell you why after the break.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. For steps, for swim lesson, or for sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
The great Peter Frampton.
I don't know if he's great or not. I don't know, and I'm not familiar enough with his body of work. I know he put out a live album that circulated pretty well.
I know right now Max wants a piece of you so bad that he can't hardly stand.
Did he do Ooh Baby, I Love Your Way?
Yes.
Yeah, he did some good songs. Check my playlist, see how much I got of him.
You know when the terrible thing, the terrible tragedy of the Wichita State plane crash happened, they did a benefit show in Wichita. It was hosted, God, who's the guy? Monty Hall.
Really?
From Let's Make a Deal.
I've never heard this.
Hosted that show. And, well, I'd have to go back and look at who performed. Look that up. One of the performances was by the band Humble Pie. And Peter Frampton was the leader of that band before he took his career solo.
That's interesting. I've never heard that story before. How come I haven't?
Well, I don't know why you haven't.
Name some other Peter Frampton songs.
I'm not into that right
that
now.
That I should know.
I'm not into that right now.
I've only got four Peter Frampton.
Look up the performance group for that benefit concert.
I don't think that's going to be out there.
I think Flip Wilson was part of that.
Well, that's going to take some time to look at that, but I'll do my best.
One of our callers would have a good idea.
Perhaps. But again, this is the first time in 9 years of the show that this has ever come up.
I don't think it is.
So.
My dad and I went.
But I am looking it up. That's what I'm trying to do right now. And I've got a good way I can do that, but hold on. That was the year 1970, correct?
Yes. And I think the show happened in either later that year, but probably in 71. But I don't know. It's hard for me to remember who was there.
Yeah, the internet.
But it was star-studded. Quit complaining about my internet.
Well, it's not working.
Then get on my internet.
I am.
My internet is unbelievable.
Doesn't appear to be.
I've never had one issue with my internet.
Or is this website just down? What's going on?
You're the biggest. Get a phone that works.
A phone. Yeah, it's the phone that's not working. That's exactly it. But we're doing our best to find information out over here.
Well, I wish I could find that because it happened at Levitt Arena.
I'm working on it, okay? Just give me a little time. I will find out the information you want to be found out. It's just going to take a minute, and you need to give me a minute.
Here it is. It was a telethon hosted by Monty Hall. It included Bill Cosby, Mac Davis, Leif Erickson, Phil Ford, Mimi Himes, George Goebel, Humble Pie, Marilyn May, Minnie Pearl, The Young Americans, Lou Rawls, and Kate Smith. Now, can you believe that?
No, I can't, actually.
Why?
I don't know.
I just found it. You can stop your search.
Yeah, but I'm looking at other stuff now, too.
Isn't that amazing? This happened, on November 4th, so just more than a month later. No, that's when the Marshall plane crash happened. The telethon was broadcast on November 28th, 1970.
That's interesting.
Night of Stars is it was called.
Here's talking about when they arrived. Airline flight number and estimated time of arrival of the performers coming in, so you could go stalk them. There's that.
I don't care about that. But for Monty Hall to be the host, Mac Davis at that time was as big as they get.
This was in November of 1970.
You don't remember Phil Ford, do you?
Yeah, like old coach at North Carolina.
No, you don't remember the Phil Ford who was an entertainer.
I'm sure they're the same guy.
George Goebel?
Yeah, of course.
I feel bad for younger people.
Because we don't know who George Goebel is.
Here's
who cares?
Why I feel bad for you and all of you who are younger. You don't have any. You don't have any reference to all this good stuff. Before you were glued to your phones like you are right now.
I'm trying to figure out more information about this event because it doesn't say anything about it being a benefit for the
And video crash. Games and everything that you did.
Oh, here it is.
It's just sad to me.
It was a benefit for Wichita State and
Marshall.
No, it wasn't
for Marshall.
Marshall University.
It was
planned
for Wichita State, and then they changed it up.
Okay, but Marshall University will share equally in funds collected from the show and plans to use the money.
Change that up.
Okay.
They were doing it before the Marshall crash.
Yeah. Because the crash in Marshall and Marshall happened about 3 weeks later.
Right.
3.5 weeks later. Which is
crazy.
I'm
just saying that it was amazing to see those performers here in town.
Well, yeah, it's your show.
And I was there and I barely remember it. That's too bad.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm getting unbelievable text messages right now.
You are?
Adam Knapp, our friend, once wrote a story on this.
He did?
Interviewed Monty Hall.
That's amazing.
So anyway.
I should look for that story.
It's a good recollection. In the wake of a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy. But Monty Hall.
I like it.
All right, what do you got? Put your phone down.
I'm looking up this
Nobody
stuff.
Cares. We've covered it.
Yeah, but I'm...
Do it at home later. No, nobody cares.
No, I won't care later.
We've
I
handled
barely
it.
Care now.
We've handled it. Chiefs and Cleveland. Everybody picked Cleveland to cover. We're going to pay for it. The Chiefs are going to do it this week, aren't they?
No.
I mean, I went 8 on Cleveland. You went 9.
No, I didn't. I went 4.
You went 4. Dude,
there's no
went
such
8.
Thing as 9.
Anthony went 8. Even Max, who can't stand the Chiefs, only went 2.
Yeah, I don't understand his pick sometimes. You think he'd be more convicted, but it doesn't always work out that way for whatever reason.
I feel like I wasn't on top of my game yesterday.
Well, you definitely weren't.
What happened?
You didn't even know you still had your 8 left. And you had to go Cleveland for 8. Don't try to change it now.
I feel good. What do you mean, don't try to
Looks
change
like you're
it
warming
now.
That pin up to make some alterations.
Well, I might change it.
Well, do whatever you got to do.
Really?
No.
You'd let me change it.
What would you do?
I'd put my 8 on.
There's no really good 8
games.
No,
there's really no good 8 games. I guess Cleveland's not covering, though.
What if they do?
I've always felt like the Chiefs weren't going to cover.
Carolina covered.
Like,
the Raiders covered. It's not like this is a good team thing that the Chiefs are running into. They don't cover against bad teams either.
Cleveland beat Pittsburgh.
I think Cleveland has an outside shot at winning this game.
I don't think that's the case. But we'll see.
If Jameis cannot beat Jameis for...
We've seen
one
better
game.
Teams in Cleveland come close to beating the Chiefs.
We've seen worse teams. Probably not. The Raiders, though. Are the Raiders worse
Carolina's
than Cleveland?
Carolina's gotten better.
I know. That's why I didn't say them. Are the Raiders worse than
the
Cleveland?
The Raiders aren't horrible, except they can't. They have no quarterback.
They don't have much of a running game. They don't really have any receivers.
Why'd they get rid of Josh Jacobs?
I'll
never understand.
The same reason you're getting rid of... Ryan Helsley, or would
we're not
like
getting
to,
rid of Ryan,
or
Helsley.
Would like to.
We don't even look like we'd like to.
You don't need him. You'd like to. You don't need him. They don't need Josh Jacobs, so they can, like Capper said, so they can go from 3 wins to 5. Like, what's the point? Just run out Amir Abdullah and see what you got.
We are all suckers for the NFL because if your team doesn't have a quarterback, you have no chance of winning. Back in the day, that wasn't necessarily the case. You could make up for it in other ways.
Unless you're the Steelers.
To some degree. But now you got no chance because the game is so predicated on passing and really dual quarterbacks.
Well, that's why there's a lot of good quarterbacks out there right now. You don't. There are few teams that are just like hopeless for their quarterback situation. The Raiders
don't
have a – quarterback
don't go there
situation.
Yet. I'm going to tell you who's hopeless.
The Titans might be hopeless.
They're hopeless.
The Giants.
Will Levis, give me a break.
But there aren't that many teams that just do not have either a current or hopes for a future at quarterback. There's just not that many.
Well, the Jets.
Okay, but Aaron Rodgers.
New England, they're iffy.
No, Drake May, they believe.
I think they're iffy.
They really like Drake May, trust me.
I think they're iffy.
No, they're not.
Vegas.
That's one.
Pittsburgh. I think they're iffy.
They don't.
They got it. That's why I like Mike Tomlin.
Russell Wilson's been fine.
Kind of team.
Russell Wilson has been fine for them.
They win with in ways that you used to win.
You know, I just said that.
Cleveland.
Yes. There's two.
Indianapolis.
No, they like Richardson.
They may like him. He's unproven.
There's a lot of unproven, but
Jacksonville's kind of back in that boat.
They're not going.
Tennessee.
That's three.
No, I think I'm
just
right.
Just because you're saying team names does not mean that they're hopeless at quarterback.
Giants.
Four. But we'll get one.
San Francisco?
No.
To some degree?
Brock Purdy's fine. They've had much, much bigger problems than quarterback this year.
Well, I don't know.
I do.
What about Minnesota?
What?
They have any? I mean, is this guy the guy?
Yeah.
Atlanta?
Michael Penix.
We'll see.
Not hopeless.
New Orleans?
Little hopeless.
Carolina?
No.
A lot of teams.
No, like four.
I got 10.
No, you didn't. You just said teams.
No, I got 10.
Okay, the Patriots are hopeless at quarterback.
Fairly.
No, Drake May's good.
You're out of your mind, Bob. Drake May is going to be great. Wait till he gets some receivers.
I hope they break his ankles tomorrow.
I hope Myles Garrett breaks your quarterback's neck and stomps
Nobody
on him in Cleveland.
Nobody can even get to my quarterback.
He's protected.
His ankle's been a problem
in the past. He's protected. He's more protected than
Gretzky. I want everybody to remain healthy.
All right, turn your mic off now.
I don't wish for bad health.
I don't wish for bad health either.
No.
But I'm not sold on the Patriots.
Well, you don't have to be sold, but he's clearly good. And it's not like they're going after another quarterback this year. There's like four or five teams that will try to get a quarterback. And
no, they're not at a point where they need to go after
and go hard after a quarterback, right?
There's, I get that.
There's like four teams or five that need a quarterback.
Drake May.
They're not giving up on him after 1 year.
11 touchdowns. No, I'm not saying give up on
him. So they're not hopeless.
11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Name one receiver for the Patriots.
Hunter Henry.
He's a tight end.
Is that a receiver?
No, that's a tight end. Name one wide receiver.
I don't think I can.
Right.
You want me to look?
Kendrick Bourne.
Don't they have a guy named Douglas?
DeMario Douglas. Yes.
Let me look now.
I just told you.
Yeah, they're all right. They got Austin Hooper.
Another tight end.
Yeah, those are receivers.
No, they're tight ends, and they're not that good.
I don't like where New England is.
Based on what?
3-10. That's based
on. They have no players.
Well, get some players.
I think they're going to try. They don't have a coach either.
Here's Joe Jackson from Mays South. They have a home game tonight against their rivals, the Mays Eagles. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Bob, I'm doing well. Thanks for having us on. Hope everything's well with you guys as well.
Well, we appreciate that. You had a team last year that was loaded with talent and veteran leadership. Tell us about this team so far. It's a little bit different squad.
The squad, I'm really, I'm excited about this group. We graduated, at 9 seniors last year, 8 of which played significant minutes for us. We returned one guy really out of our top 8 rotation, who is a really good player. His name's Cy Stuckey, 6'7" junior kid. We went from last year being probably the biggest and strongest and most physical team that I've ever coached to now. I mean, we've got Cy, who possesses really good size, but we are pretty small and pretty young and just don't have a ton of varsity experience this year. So you know, we look a lot different on the court, but at the same time, you know, it's exciting as a coach. You know, there's going to be some years like that. We don't have a single senior on our roster this year. It's the first time in my career. I've been doing this quite a while now, and first time in my career we haven't had a senior on the roster. And we've only got three juniors, and we're playing a lot of sophomores. So we've got a really talented freshman
Good
class.
Grief.
As well. And so,
I don't think I realized.
Yeah, you know, that's just one of those things. We had such a talented class a year ago, and we've got some good kids that are seniors, you know, in the school without a doubt. And it just, you know, a lot of them, just basketball wasn't their thing. And that's, you know, that's part of it too, but we're playing a really young team this year. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we're probably going to take some lumps here early, like we did, you know, the other night on Tuesday night at Andover Central, but man, there is a lot of potential there, and just, you know, having the opportunity to coach a bunch of young guys and try to mold them and get them playing the game the right way has been a lot of fun. And so it looks a lot different. It feels a little bit different than last year for sure. But you know, we're having fun and we're showing growth.
Yeah. How does that change the way you coach? Obviously not just, it's a different group altogether basically, but the style of play I'm sure has to be different. You have to develop these younger players that don't have the varsity experience. So how does that kind of force you to adjust the way you coach to fit the personnel?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Jeff. You know, ultimately I've always felt that great coaches are going to adapt to their strengths and to what fits their players. And so, you know, I've never tried to be a coach who's just stuck in my ways that we are this type of system or we're this or we're that. You know, we're going to try to always adapt to our strengths. We definitely, our schemes look a lot different this year, especially defensively. I mean, we're not nearly as physical this year as what we were a year ago. So we've got to be a little bit, you know, smarter and about our angles on closeouts and, you know, the way we guard and, you know, making sure we're providing a lot more help on the ball and things of that nature. Ultimately, you know, it on the offensive end, that changes things a lot too. When we go from having a team that had tremendous size, we played two bigs last year a lot, and this year we've really only got one big on the team, so I just feel like, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you've got to, you know, coaches that are doing, in my mind, I guess, coaches that are doing their job are going to adapt to their strengths, and that's what we're trying to do, you know, every day.
Joe Jackson, our guest, the head boys basketball coach at Mays South. They have Mays at their place tonight. We had Chris Grill on the show yesterday. They've got a much more seasoned team than you guys do. So when you go into this game tonight, and it's such a big rivalry game, what's the message to your club?
Well, you know, right now it hasn't taken a lot to get our guys fired up, because I feel like, you know, it's a lot of teams in the area know how much we graduated a year ago, and I've kind of used this with our guys too, but you know, our guys feel like people are overlooking us and that we're getting disrespected a little bit and everything because, you know, of our, you know, not having seniors and not really having a ton of size, you know, on the team. And so I've kind of coached with a chip on my shoulder. I've tried to encourage our guys to play with a chip on their shoulder and, you know, we shouldn't be bowing down to anybody, you know, and just because we're young doesn't mean we can't, you know, be in the mix and be fighting and competing in every single game. And so, I think we're probably being overlooked by a lot of teams and that it probably just comes with the territory when we graduate a group like we did a year ago. But again, we've got some really, really talented players, you know, in our junior and sophomore class. And right now, I mean, we just need to grow physically a little bit and we got to continue to get stronger and even, you know, maturing mentally as well is going to be a big piece to that. But, you know, I feel like, you know, our goal, you know, ultimately by the second time we play everybody this season, you know, we want to compete in every game early on, but especially by the second time around, we need to be competitive with the best teams in our league and ultimately have a chance to make a run at state again, you know. And so that, you know, some people may think that's a little far-fetched or whatever, but we've got to dream big and we're going to work, you know, work like that's our goal every single day.
So last year in Emporia, I saw Cy Stuckey and his leadership qualities, and he's very much a football player who plays basketball, but I think that probably helped you. First, can you talk about what he brings to the table? And second, since he's kind of a guy that's, you know, more in the post and does those things, is there a player on your team that you kind of want to season as that floor general type who handles the ball and gets everyone else involved? Do you think you have that player on your roster right now?
You know, we do, and first to answer your first question, I mean, Cy has had, he's just a tremendous leader. You know, he got, his first start at state last year in the state tournament. We had our big kid, Torrey Homan, our 6'7 kid who's playing at Fort Hays right now. Torrey went down with an ACL late in the year last year, and so Cy had been, you know, a big piece for us a year ago as a sophomore, but you know, he really played a great role for us and providing support to Torrey and everything like that. But Cy has had a good of an off season as probably any kid I remember being around, you know, in my entire coaching career. He has absolutely just lived in the weight room. He's transformed his body. You know, he looked good as a sophomore last year. He looks even better right now. He's lived in the weight room. He's lived in the gym. He's been on our shooting gun. You know, I can't even tell you that he's on that thing all the time. He's always trying to get in the gym and everything. And he has had a really, really good off season. And then to answer your second question, you know, we've got some, you know, we've only got three juniors in the program and no seniors. Our three juniors are, Cy Stuckey, Reese Pauly, and Tucker Lowe. And then we're playing a lot of sophomores, and the two sophomores that have been playing the one for us the most right now have been Paxton Scott and Jalen Batiste, and both of those guys are really talented sophomores. We're kind of, you know, building them up to, you know, to be kind of a lead guard in the program. Marcus Cates right now comes off the bench as a backup guard for us. He's another one of those guys as well. You know, we've got some other sophomores that are playing, you know, major minutes for us here as well. Charlie Clinton starting for us. He's really kind of a more of a guard, but he's an undersized four for us right now. He's having to guard a lot bigger kids, but you know, Charlie does a great job on that. And then Stratton Ebers right now is coming off the bench, and he's another football kid that is just bringing an incredible effort and has been a tremendous asset for us as well. So that's basically our top eight in the rotation right now. We're definitely excited for the future, and we want to hopefully go out and compete tonight and give ourselves a chance to win against a really good Mays team.
Final moments here with Joe Jackson, the head boys coach at Mays South. Now, I don't know you tremendously well, but I've been around you enough to know that and seen your interactions enough to know that you seem to be pretty much universally liked. Which I can't relate to in many ways, but I applaud you for that. So when you take on a rival like Mays and the coach over there, of course, Chris Grill, what's that rivalry mean to you? Do you get worked up at all? I know your players do. I know their players do. How do you handle it personally, Joe?
Well, you know, number one, I guess we're going to try to win, you know, win every game we're in. And so, there's definitely no love lost between, you know, the Mays South and Mays rivalry. You know, they don't like us very much. We don't like them very much. We respect everybody. I really, outside of competition, Coach Grill and I get along really well. But when we're on the court, we're trying to beat each other's brains in. You know, they're doing the same thing to us, and we're going to try to compete and do whatever we can do to win as well. When I first took this job, you'd actually had me on the show. I think we even brought that up at that point. You know, these are the type of games that you really look forward to, you know, when I took this job here for going on 5 years ago now. This rivalry has just been nothing short of incredible. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a great crowd tonight. The environment's going to be great. The gym's going to be rocking. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to go lay it on the line and compete and do whatever we can do to come out with a win. And at the end of the night, we're going to shake their hand. And if we get beat, we're not going to like it. And if they get beat, they're not going to like it either. And that's just, you know, one of those things that's part of the rivalry. But I've got nothing but respect for Coach Grill and his kids have all been, you know, tremendous as well, obviously having a lot of success you know, at the college level and everything like that. And it's one of those things. It's a lot of fun. It really is. This is, you know, a big reason why we do what we do. It's a lot of fun to be a part of matchups like this tonight.
Always enjoy the conversations, Coach Jackson. Thanks for being on with us. Good luck tonight and the rest of the season, and have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys as well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Joe Jackson from Mays South. We'll come back. We've got an hour left. I'm pulling Bernie Miklas in, formerly of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, longtime St. Louis media member. We're going to talk Cardinals coming up at about 3:20, and I don't care.
Have fun.
I don't care who wants, who likes it.
I thought you didn't want to lose listeners.
Oh, they'll love it.
They will.
Yeah, I got Cardinals fans out there who listen to this show.
Yeah, at least two. I don't know who the second one is.
Brian Hargrove.
Oh, there you go.
Come on, guys. Listen in.
Rally.
We'll be back.
Radio you can touch.
That can only mean one thing.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Bob Lutz.
I've known you your entire life. There's no one who knows less about football.
Jeff Lutz.
I think every bowl game from now on should be named after something you can put in a bowl. Like raisins. Orange Bowl's fine. Sugar Bowl's okay. But no Tax Slayer Bowl. You can't put that in a bowl. You can envision a bowl of raisins.
You call yourself a man. I wait for you.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We've got Bernie Miklas, St. Louis media fame, coming up at 3:20. I want to talk about the Cardinals.
I want that clip played at my funeral.
What's that?
About putting things in bowls. I think that's good. I think that's a solid representation of my time on the radio. And
that's
here on
highlight?
And here on the planet. It's not necessarily the number one highlight, but I think it's a solid Jeff?
I got so many.
Who was Jeff? Here's one for you.
I don't know what we'd pick if I had to pick. I mean, we'd have so many choices.
Yeah, I won't pick.
What would you pick?
I don't think I'll pick.
What do you mean you don't think you'll pick?
I don't think I'll pick a radio clip for you.
What will you pick?
I don't know. Maybe some songs? Is there some songs?
Let me ask you this, and I'm sorry if this is too morbid for people. Would you do a eulogy for me?
Probably.
Really? You'd be composed enough to do it?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Really? No emotion at all?
I didn't say that.
You just said, yeah, I'll be fine. With an indication that, yeah, it's not going to bother me that much.
Of course I'll do a eulogy. I did one at my mother's funeral, and that was far more tragic than I believe your death will probably be.
What does that mean?
Well, she was 56. You're already 70.
So age doesn't, it's a matter of how old you are when you die.
And she was extremely ill, and it was bad. So, yeah,
one could say, and I hate to get into this discussion, one could say there was more time to prepare. What if I just tonight?
I've been preparing.
What?
That was a joke. Calm down.
Do you feel comfortable joking about that?
I do, yes.
Why?
That's just the kind of, didn't you watch Jamie Foxx? Sometimes when you got to laugh to keep from crying. So it's fun.
You're not laughing to keep from crying.
I'm not keeping from crying, but gallows humor, I've never found anything wrong with gallows humor.
I just don't understand it.
If it's funny, there are a few topics that are untouchable for comedy.
How do you think I'd react if, lo and behold, something were to happen to you?
I think you'd be crushed.
Think I'd be able to eulogize?
No. Absolutely not. I'm not sure anybody would.
I've done quite a few eulogies in my lifetime. The one that sticks with me the most is for my friend Steve Harper. And that was recorded somewhere, and I've lost that recording. And you have to understand that with Steve, he would have wanted you to be irreverent. And I was. And I felt like I had the full authority and okay to do that. And I was honored to get to do that. I was very honored that Chris Davis, our friend, asked me to eulogize his father and my very, very close friend, Larry Davis.
Sure.
Did you ever meet Larry Davis?
I'm sure I did. I don't have a particular memory of it, but I had to have.
You didn't go with me to as many NBC games because I was there all the time.
Yeah, but I went to a lot.
What'd you do?
Watch baseball.
Down in the stands? Or
no, I was hung out with you in the press box quite a bit. Maybe not quite a
at
bit.
At the NBC?
Yeah.
I know you did that at Wranglers.
No, NBC, I'm not saying I was there a bunch, but I have memories of it because I remember Midlothian so well and how much I enjoyed watching them. I believe I was in the press box, but maybe not. There are a lot of people at those games back in the day.
There are only a few people that you can truly say one of a kind about, and Larry Davis is one of those people. And so was Steve Harper.
Sure.
Why am I attracted to one of a kind people?
Are you? Are they attracted to you?
Maybe they are.
Who knows? Are you one of a kind?
I don't know.
No.
It's not for me to say. You'll certainly tell me I'm not.
I don't think so.
You'll certainly be the first to get in there and say no.
I might be, but...
Yeah, if I can depend on one thing to bring me down and put me in my place...
Doesn't that hurt? Isn't that rough on you that I'm always the underdog and I'm plucky and I get to say stuff? But when you say stuff, it's not viewed that way.
What do you mean?
You're being a bully in people's eyes when you take shots at me. When I'm taking shots at you, I'm fighting from underneath.
Well, I don't care. You can't hurt me.
It's a good dynamic for me.
Well, yeah, but you can't hurt me.
Great. Even better.
I mean, I've taken it all. I've built up a
fortress
exterior here.
I understand. I have in a lot of ways too.
Not to the level of yours truly.
Not too far from it.
You haven't been chastised, and you haven't taken the heat I've taken.
Sure, but
in my life, let me just tell you that right now.
But it's still from people you don't know.
No.
A lot of times.
No.
So your friends have given you the business.
Well, it started when I was a kid.
From?
I don't want to get too deep, but right in my home.
Oh, interesting. Certainly never experienced that.
Experienced what?
Whatever you're talking about. Getting heat from inside the home.
Well, my mother gave me a lot of heat.
We had a very peaceful, loving home, of course.
Well, I think we did.
It was all right.
Well, I don't think I was that to that degree. And again, I'm not trying to blame any person because I turned out just fine. But my mom was a piece of work. She was one of a kind.
Most people are. I mean,
no, you're not.
I'm not.
No offense.
Who's like me?
I've met a million people like you.
Name one.
I don't know who they are, but
there can't be that many.
Well, we're all one of a kind in a
literal
big picture way,
right?
But in a real way, like I've never met anyone like him.
I would say few. And I'm not necessarily saying this is a badge of honor. A lot of times I wish I was a more fit-in type, but I'm not.
Well, who are you trying to fit in with?
No, I don't know, but I'm just saying I wish I saw the world in sometimes I've wished this, not often, but sometimes I just wish I saw the world like other people do.
Well, how do other people see it?
They see it normally, and I try to not. I don't know.
You're giving yourself too much credit.
I'm not trying to.
I'm sorry, Max. Who's on hold?
The long-lost Ryan Ray.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. This is almost unbelievable. Our friend Ryan.
We know what he's going to say.
Has been in witness protection. Ryan, hello.
Yes, they caught the killer.
So I'd like to make my re-debut here. But golly, just to hear these sounds here, understand that, you know, we never, I mean, I can't imagine the horror and the pain that you'd have, Bob, if you, you know, as a parent, never to bury their child. You know, I mean, I think you'd be uncontrollable.
This is getting weird. This is all right. Now yeah. It's going to get weird.
Let it get weird.
No, I just, that's fine. I'm just saying, I just heard you guys, and I begged Max and said, get him up off the couch. Come on, get him off the couch back in the sports arena. But no, it's a delightful conversation. And yeah, I know that Jeff could do it, and he'd do a fabulous job. He'd be honored to do your eulogy, but there would be some cracking of the voice, I promise you. And just
let me ask you, Ryan.
Sure.
We're happy you called, but do you mind if I ask you a question?
I'd like that.
What have you been doing? Where you been? What's going on?
My new schedule is 4 days on and 2 days off. And so it has precluded my full attention to the show, but you've certainly been, watched and listened to on the Odyssey app. That's been easy to do. But then, you know, when I leaned in today for a little jive talk, it got jivey. And it's a valid conversation.
Always got a little jive.
You never know where we're going to go with jive talk.
Woo! I have two questions for you, Ryan.
Sorry.
4 days on, 2 days off. So does that mean if you work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then the next week you work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Right. 4 days off, 2 days on, 2 days. Yeah, no, it's a triangular schedule, and it was originally all the rage over in Sweden. So we're trying it in the U.S. So that's all I'm
I like
speak
it.
To. Yeah, and it's a great time.
And my next question is, have you cut your hair? Please say yes.
Not yet, but it is going to happen soon. I just ask all the kids. I said, hey, do we want to take pictures? Because it's coming off. And I had one beg, no. And I said, no, it's gone. So, yes, there will be Christmas pictures this year after the 19th. I bet we'll have some pictures for the family. Oh, my goodness. Sans the hair.
He's turned a corner, and I'm happy to hear it.
Well, we're happy that you called us, and please do so as often as you can, okay?
Bob, all the best. You guys keep it going, okay? Rock it out. Love you. Bye.
There you go.
Love you.
There's Ryan. Long time since we've heard from him. Always a pleasure.
I had lunch with him a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My name come up?
No.
Well, that's a shame.
I don't know.
Well,
why are you worried about that? Why is that your first question? Why not, hey, what'd you guys talk about? How's he doing?
I know what reaction I'm going to get.
Well, it's annoying.
That's why.
Just surprise me one time and say, oh, that's cool. How's he doing?
How was Ryan?
Yeah.
Why? What do you mean?
He was fine.
How long's the hair?
It's too long.
Like how long? Shoulder length?
Yeah, at least.
Really?
Yeah. It's not a good look. And I told him.
Well, maybe he likes it.
It's a midlife crisis kind of thing, and I'm okay with that.
Is the fact that I've kind of cut my hair a late life crisis?
I don't think so.
You know what it is? It's very simple.
Just don't want to deal with it.
Oh, it's so much easier.
Right.
Because you know when I get my hair growing, it's wavy and thick.
Yeah, Ryan's a good-looking man. He doesn't need any accessory.
Am I a good-looking man?
Sure.
Why do you laugh when you say it?
I didn't. You did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. That's a laugh.
It's a chuckle.
That's the same. It's the same thing.
It's a mild.
It's a chortle.
Chuckle.
Something like that.
Boy, we got all five shows next week. Remember when the Royals played? Preempted us occasionally.
That was fun.
I didn't like that at the time, but occasionally preempt.
It was one a week for a long time during the baseball.
Now you're off. You're off during the Christmas break, right? Christmas week.
Yeah, the next week after next. Yeah.
So you will not be here.
No, I'm laying out.
The following week, I will not be here.
Okay.
So you'll have to come up with three shows, and I'll have to come up with three shows.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do a show on New Year's Eve or not.
I didn't hear that either.
Somebody's holding.
Somebody's holding.
Jeff is holding.
Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Jack. That's whatever your name is.
You said Jeff.
Just start talking, right?
Good. I got to be quick because I got a guess. But who is this?
Well, this is Jeff.
Okay.
Take as much time as you need.
Well, I'm going to take something like that. You guys sound like you need something to talk about. But I don't know if you guys talked on this or not or touched on this, but this happened Tuesday night in high school sports, and I didn't know this was a thing. Bishop Carroll and East played a basketball game, the boys, and maybe you guys know about this already, but finished the game. The game was tied.
I did hear it.
And the game was tied at 54. They're getting ready to tip off for overtime, and the scores table calls the officials over, and they say, hey, we missed a point or added a point or something in apparently the third quarter. The game's 53-54. This game's over, and East wins. And, I mean,
wow,
that's just how.
Who was the home team?
East was the home team. And I just
so they have the home book.
I can't believe that would happen in high school sports. And I've heard from a couple different sources. I can't verify this because I didn't see the film. That people have watched the film and the score was indeed tied at 54 and they should have played overtime. So I'm not sure.
Unfortunately, you have to go with the home book in those situations. And if those at the scores table, hold on, Jeff, I'm trying to explain it to you.
Well, I think he knows that, but I think the controversy outweighs.
Don't defend Jeff.
Outweighs the rule. This is dumb. It's dumb.
Well, what are you going to do if the home book has it one way? There's not a whole lot you can do. That's why those people who keep the scorebooks and who run the scoreboards are supposed to compare scores periodically, certainly at the end of each quarter, and make sure they have it the same.
Therein lies the problem at the end of the quarter. And to me, they played this. If it happened in the third quarter and that's when the score got off, and once you get past the third quarter, if you start the fourth quarter, it's too late. You can't change it because it affects the way you play the game way too much. I mean, because Carroll or East down the stretch totally could have changed the way they play a game, which would have changed the outcome of the game. I mean, it's just
– well, we'll see.
It didn't make sense. Like,
I don't know the
happened.
Details of when the point may have happened. We'll call Dale Faber and get his thoughts on it, but – I don't know enough to say that there was a mistake made. I mean,
well, Jeff does.
Maybe. Thank you for the call. I don't know what to tell. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you do.
Let's take a break. We're going to talk with Bernie Miklas after we come back. Listen, if they screwed up, then somebody needs to answer for it.
Well, they did screw up one way or another. Because they were going to go into overtime, and then they weren't. So there's a screw-up somewhere.
Somebody messed up somewhere.
Right.
But if they rectified the screw-up...
That's not when you rectify. Jeff's point stands.
My point stands.
You can't say at the end of the game, oh, we missed a point in the third quarter.
What if it was in the fourth quarter?
It should... No. Once the game's over, the score on the scoreboard should be what it is.
We'll be right back.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first, for steps, for swim lesson, or for sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit carters.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Bernie Miklas, longtime media person in St. Louis. I would imagine you like Led Zeppelin, if I'm guessing your musical tastes correctly, which are all over the place, right, Bernie?
Yeah, all over the place. Yeah, I love Led Zeppelin. As a younger fella, I think I saw them in concert three or four times, out either in Baltimore or Washington growing up. Yeah, absolutely.
So you've started this YouTube channel, and you talk a lot about the Cardinals, some about the Blues, and some about Missouri football and different things, but a lot about the Cardinals, and I'm sure that drives the ratings. I watch every single one of them. I can't tell you what a void it fills, especially in these months. How popular has it become? How's it doing?
It's doing really well. You know, I going into it, Bob, I didn't know what to expect, like what's considered like a good audience or good numbers. And, you know, I'm up over 7,000 subscribers, and you know, this thing's been going on for like 3 months. And, you know, I was surprised to learn that if you get to 7,000 subscribers, you're like in the top, you know, the top 8 or 9% of all people that have a YouTube channel, you know? So, I mean, I was like, wow, then I'm doing better than I thought. But you hit on something, and I'll be real quick about it. Every now and then I get complaints, says we ought to talk more about this, more about that. It's the off season, you know, their Cardinals aren't even playing. And people with all due respect to them, they don't get it. Cardinals fans are passionate. They're intensely interested in the Cardinals. Just because they're mad at the team and the Cardinals probably they won't sell as many tickets next season, that doesn't mean the interest level has gone down. It just means that some fans are in effect protesting and they're just not going to buy as many tickets. But I found out doing radio that in the off season, like some of my download numbers for Cardinals, because I was hitting Cardinals all off season, I was getting these fantastic numbers because Cardinals fans crave the content. In fact, it might be, in a lot of ways, it might be just as important in the off season because they don't get as much information. So anyway, thanks for letting me talk about that. But it's going really well. So thanks for asking.
Good. Well, let's get into the Cardinals here.
That's kind of where I was going, Bernie. We have a Cardinals fan here, and as someone who's also a diehard fan of a team that happens to be Cleveland for me, I know that when things aren't going well, you don't want to hear sunshine. You want a voice in the media who can echo that and kind of feel the frustration, not from a fan level, but, you know, be that voice. So do you find that fans more right now are hopeful that this front office regime is coming to an end after this year, or bitter that they have to endure one more year of it?
I think it's both, Jeff, because I can't emphasize enough, and you guys know this, but I can't stress enough how unpopular John Mozeliak is. I mean, people just, even I think reasonable fans who aren't so-called haters, even they're just like are counting the days till he's gone. Like he's as disliked as any prominent sports figure in St. Louis I can remember. People are just burned out on him, and they're looking forward to what Chaim Bloom's going to bring. And Chaim Bloom's off to a great start, getting this minor league and player development system rebuilt, restored, because he's made some fantastic hires so far. So I think people are looking to the future, but I also think Cardinals fans are just saying, Mozeliak, please don't do any more damage over the next season. Just leave it to Chaim Bloom to make big decisions. And I feel the same way. And I like Mo, man, but he was fantastic for quite a long time in his job, but he just got stale and old in the job and outdated and let things slide and spent money poorly. You know, he stayed too long. That's what it comes down to. And I guess that's Bill DeWitt Jr.'s fault, really, because he stuck with him this long.
Bernie Miklas with us. We're talking Cardinals. He's been in the media in St. Louis for many, many years. So I'm going to mention Mo again, and I'm one of those, I think I'm a reasonable fan who has just come to the end of the line with this guy.
Right.
So what is he thinking? Does he want to try to surprise us and maybe have a better team than we think he can have? Is that his number one goal? Do you think his number one goal is to put this team in the best position he can for the future? How's he balancing that? Maybe, you know, he's probably saying, to heck with you fans. Look what I'm going to try to do that might not be the best in the long term for the Cardinals. I think the best thing in the long term for the Cardinals would be to trade Ryan Helsley, trade Eric Fetty, try to get younger, really kind of regroup. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with you 100%. See, the problem with John Mozeliak going into this year, at first I thought he was transparent. I thought he was being really straight with the fans. I think when they came out at the end of the last season, and DeWitt, both DeWitts and Chaim Bloom and John Mozeliak, you know, they even said, hey, this could be, you know, we're probably going to take a step back in 2025. You know, we got to give all the opportunity, playing time opportunities, as many young players as we can. That includes pitchers, position players. That's what 2025 is all about. And meanwhile, we're going to be fixing everything that's going wrong with our minor league system, with the infrastructure and equipment and technology and lack of coaches and instruction. So, listen, I think a lot of Cardinals fans, of course, they want the Cardinals to, like, quote, try to win every year. But I think they understood that this kind of thing was overdue and it's needed. It's absolutely essential that they make some firm determinations about their young players. And they only can do that if they play all the time. But Mozeliak is hedging here, like, in the last couple, 3 weeks. You know, he's talking about, well, you know, we think we can be really, really competitive. We think that we can do, we're going to be better than people expect. We think this, he won't come out and say, we think we're going to contend, but he's trying to imply that. So the problem with Mozeliak is he's been in the middle of the road for so long, and he's still trying to walk in the middle of the road instead of just saying, look, this is one of those years. We got to do this. Please be patient with us. We'll come out better for it. But he's hedging. I mean, he's hesitating. Like, to your point, and you know, since you watch the YouTube videos, you know I holler about this all the time. Why in the world wouldn't they trade Eric Fetty and Ryan Helsley? I mean, teams out there are going absolutely nuts, crazed to try to get starting pitching. Fetty makes $7.5 million this year. He's a good pitcher. I mean, I know he doesn't strike out everybody, but he's a good pitcher. And he's going to walk after 2025. Scott Boras takes all his clients to free agency. They're not going to get him on a cheap deal. Ryan Helsley, especially with Devin Williams being traded to the Yankees today, Ryan Helsley is the most elite closer available right now. And Ryan Helsley, unless he's willing to take a lot less money, he's going to walk as a free agent after this season. So if you're trying to get younger and you're trying to rebuild the talent pool with players that will help you well into the future, you've got to trade two guys that are going to leave you after 2025. And if you don't, like I said the other day on my YouTube thing, you know, I think it's almost irresponsible not to trade them. But yet they're defiant. Maybe they're playing a game. Maybe they're saying, well, we don't want other teams to think it'll be easy. We expect to get a lot for them. So it's possible that they can still do it. But the problem is, and I know I'm going long, but it's a deep answer because there's a lot in it. Now you have some of the more optimistic Cardinals fans. They're starting to think, well, maybe we can win the division. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we will be better. And I don't think they will be. And so now Mozeliak's setting up another season where he's raising the hopes of fans. A lot of fans aren't falling for it, but some are. And so all it's going to wind up doing is ticking off more of your fans because they need to set this 2025 season aside. They're not tearing it all down where it's going to take 5 or 6 years. They're transitioning, and then you let a new guy who's running the thing take over after 2025. So I can't stand the way he's just hedging rather than just being firm about what 2025 should be about.
Talking now with Bernie Miklas, I'm curious, and I'll bet you do a video about this in the future because it's pretty topical. The National League Central, we saw two big trades inside the division here earlier today. Devin Williams going from the Brewers to the Yankees, where he'll be the closer with Luke Weaver. I don't know what role Luke Weaver will have, maybe co-closer. And then we saw Tucker go from the Astros, Kyle Tucker, go from the Astros to the Cubs, who gave up one of their very top prospects. So that strengthens the Cubs at least for a year. How does this division line up right now? It's very hard for me to pick an obvious winner. You've got Terry Francona coming back to manage Cincinnati. You've got the Pirates, who are building an incredible pitching staff, but they almost sound like they want to trade it. What's going on in the National League Central?
Well, I think it's to be determined because the offseason still got many miles to go. But I think, you know, the Cardinals fans should fear, if that's the word, that the Cubs and their ownership and their general manager are going to get really, real aggressive the rest of the offseason. I think the Kyle Tucker trade represents that. He's a wonderful player. Now, he may leave as a free agent, but the Cubs have the money to keep him. If he wants to stay there, they'll pay. But I think the Cubs got some other moves up their sleeve. I think they're going to just all of a sudden turn up the aggression and be better, be much better going into this coming season than they were last year. In fact, that Craig Counsell kind of knows the lay of the land that will help them. And then I thought today's trade showed you the difference between the Brewers front office, which is excellent, and the Cardinals up front office, which is outdated and stale and stalled and all that stuff. The Brewers are trying to win in 2025, but they recognize that their rotation was vulnerable. And they needed to reinforce that rotation. And so they were willing to trade their walk-year closer for Nestor Cortez, who's a walk-year starter. But that's because the Brewers have a closer already in place. Trevor McGill throws 99. He did a great job for them last year when Williams was hurt. But the Brewers are signaling, hey, this is still our division. You know, we're going to win this division. We're going for it. We're not sitting on the sideline. And they also saved over $4 million by trading Williams to the Yankees for Cortez, because the Yankees sent money back, $4.5 million. So here you have the Brewers. They're saying, we're going to win now, and we're going after it. And Devin Williams is one of the top four or five relievers in the game. The Cardinals are going into a transition season, a reset season. They're not going to win the NL Central. And yet they're too afraid to trade Ryan Helsley. And so you tell me who's got the better front office. Does it make any sense? You know, what are the Cardinals afraid of trading Ryan Helsley? Yeah, Ryan Helsley, like of the two teams, the Cardinals should have been the first one to say, well, here's our closer, come and get him. But the Brewers did that. They beat him to the punch. And I remind everyone that since 2017, the Brewers have won a lot more games than the Cardinals, even though they spend a lot less. They've won four division titles. The Cardinals have won two. They've been to the playoffs seven times. The Cardinals have been to the playoffs four times. And again, the Cardinals have spent a lot more money than the Brewers. But the Brewers continue to just make fools of them, in my opinion.
Final moment here with Bernie Miklas, longtime media person in St. Louis. You can catch him on his YouTube channel, on the Scoops Network. He still writes columns. KMOX, our sister station in St. Louis, Bernie's on there a lot as well. So we know the Cardinals are going to go toward a, we think, I guess no is, it's hard to know exactly with Mozeliak, but we think they're going to go more toward a youth movement. I'm a real honk for Victor Scott. I've loved what you've said about Victor Scott and Michael Cianni. Michael Cianni, as good as he is defensively, is a run-of-the-mill guy, in my opinion. Victor Scott could potentially be a star. That's what I think. Who of these young guys, and I'll give you Walker Gorman and Victor Scott, who do you think is going to pan out if you had to guess? I know you hate guessing, but
no,
I'm asking you to guess.
No, I apologize, Bob. No, I'll guess. Well, let me point something out real quick, too. You know, the Cardinals talk about youth movement. You know, well, this is a year to play the young guys. And here's the thing, that it's kind of a little bit of a con game, because last year the Cardinals, position players age 25 and younger, played more games and had more plate appearances than in any team in the majors last year. In other words, the youth movement started last year. So they're acting like this is new. It's not new. They started it last year. But anyway, to answer your question, Ivan Herrera should be on that list, because with Contreras playing
right
base, Ivan Herrera's got a great bat. He really has tremendous offensive potential. But I'm afraid Ollie Marmol is going to play Pedro Pages more than Herrera, because Pages probably better defensively, and the veteran pitchers will be whining, you know, if – they don't have the better of the two defensively behind the plate. But you got to play Herrera, because his bat could be special. And with Victor Scott, this is why I question the whole youth movement thing. Victor Scott could really elevate this offense, because he can steal a lot of bases. He's so fast in the outfield. They need to work with him, because he didn't get the instruction in the minors to get better reads and better jumps and better routes on the ball. He's starting to hit for power. So if you're setting aside this coming season for a so-called youth movement, why wouldn't Victor Scott be a priority? Because he's got more upside than Mike Cianni. And why wouldn't Ivan Herrera get the lion's share of innings behind the plate? Because, again, you're setting the season aside, and this is a perfect time for him to get better defensively. And you can only do that by playing a lot. And his bat is definitely a plus for this lineup. They contradict themselves, Bob. Just like we were talking about, you know, they really contradict themselves all the time.
All right. I guess I feel better. Bernie, thank you. I'm going to watch whatever video you put out there today and probably chomp at the bit and agree with you. And I appreciate what you do, and thank you for coming on the show. And if you send me your address, Bernie, I'll send you a League 42 hat.
All right. Hey. I'm all in favor of that for my hat collection. I got some new ones today arrived, by the way. So, no, I appreciate you, Bob and Jeff. You guys call me anytime, man. Thank you. And happy holidays to everybody. Thank you.
You as well.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Bernie Miklas, thank you for indulging me, listeners, as we talk a little Cardinals. Joanna Chadwick joins us from Byte Magazine. Her weekly appearance. We put it off a little later today. Joanna, thank you for being on. We got to ask you. We had a caller early in the show asking us about the scoreboard discrepancy at the East Carroll game earlier in the week. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, what it comes down to is that's the official scorebook. I don't know how it wasn't caught before. Minutes after the buzzer sounds, you know, those, I've sat at so many score tables in my time that there's that conversation between, hey, you know, you got that score wrong, or, you know, how many fouls does so-and-so have, and they fix it. So there should be that conversation happening, but you have to go by the official scorebook. I'm not saying it's right, but you know, we've seen two pretty serious things happen here early in the year, including that and then the technical foul that was called in the Andover Central Salina Central game that had a huge bearing on that game. So obviously there's frustration with those things, but you ultimately have to go with the official book.
I guess that's
True, but man, this just changes the game. If the score's tied versus somebody's up by one late in the fourth quarter. But anyway, since we're sort of limited on time, I wrote today about the City League and how, you know, it seems like it's stronger than it's been in several years. We had four teams on the boys' side make state. It seems like the girls' side is getting better. Obviously, Heights is very good. Carroll, do you feel that way too, that this is a little bit of a turnaround for the City League?
The City League definitely looks stronger than it has. And, you know, we've got the staples, certainly, that are consistently there. You hope that it's just going to continue to get stronger. I mean, we're used to it being 1-7 at least, you know, and nights where 1-9, you're going to have some really good games. But I thought that Capen girls, on the girls' side, Capen girls beating Wichita South, that bodes well for a stronger City League on the girls' side, I think.
Joanna Chadwick with us from Vibe Magazine. We've got 2-0 East coming off that win over Carroll, that disputed win, facing at Capen Mount Carmel at Capen Mount Carmel tonight. We know East had a good year last year. They made it to the state semifinals.
No, they lost in the first round.
Well, whatever. In my world, they made it. Are they legit? Are they continuing the City League theme? Can they go to Capen and make that a game?
I mean, you know, if this will be one of those games. I mean, we're three games into the season. I mean, we're making some proclamations that are pretty strong at this point. And I mean, and that's. I say that to back up the fact that we don't know yet. We are going to find some things out tonight. That can East go to Capen? Can East go and get that win? I don't see why not. I think that this early in the year, East has shown us some good signs. I like Ismail Berry. I think that, you know, hopefully they can go in and make a game of that, maybe even pull out the win over Capen. Capen's tough to beat, though, and it's at Capen. I mean, that crowd is, that's rough to play there.
Yeah, what should be the conversation around Northwest? Because they've obviously been extremely dominant over their first two games. It was South and North, and I don't know how South's going to be. It seems like North is going to endure several of these type of games. So what is Northwest to you?
Well, I think I can confidently say that they're a team that's going to be, we're going to be watching that line. They just have too much. When you already had Eli Benning, who is a phenomenal point guard and with crazy speed, and they made it to the semifinals of in 6A last year, already you have that experience. And then you get two humongous transfers in River Peters and DJ Brown. My goodness. You know, suddenly you go from a team that's got a great leader to a team with three incredible components. Yeah, we should be talking about them.
Yeah, and I can't wait for their games against Heights. I think Heights has a legitimate pursuer, and obviously Capen too. When you have Northwest, Capen, and Heights at the top of your league, you've got a pretty good league. So that's going to be very interesting. Andover at McPherson tonight. The thing they have in common, they've lost to Derby already, and that's really impressive for the Panthers. But Andover, McPherson, two really good teams. This is an interesting game.
I think that, having seen both of them play, I speak with a little bit more confidence that maybe that McPherson is probably going to win this one. I think McPherson has quite a bit of, they've got so many players who can score in a variety of ways that I just don't think that Andover has that kind of depth. Josh Kim is obviously an outstanding player, but I think that McPherson is just, they're a really good team. And, you know, Derby walked away with a win over them, and they've got to feel very good about that.
Did you or anybody at the Eagle during the time you were covering high school sports, did you ever do a feature, a real deep dive into the Pyle family and the Pyle legacy with McPherson basketball?
I didn't, but, you know, I was more on the beginning of that. And I mean, I don't know the history of the Pyle beyond, you know, my later years covering there, because I left in 2015-16 season would have been my last. But there's just been Pyle after Pyle after Pyle since then. And earlier on, it wasn't like this. I mean, they were really good, but there's just a lot of them.
Be a good, good.
Yeah,
good
I'm not story. Sure how far back it goes either.
It goes way back. It goes way back, like to ancestors, like the first people to walk the earth.
Hey, I already made that joke.
Were Pyle basketball. You when? When did you
In
make
my previous Friday Five? You should have read that one.
I didn't read it.
You're just piling on right now.
Very good, Joanna.
Well done.
Thank you.
That was almost a scoop.
Well,
now see, I ruined it.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
You scoop a Pyle.
You're trying to shovel yourself out of that one.
There you go. Joanna, thank you. We'll talk to you. We'll give you a longer segment next week, I promise.
God, I hope so.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
Joanna Chadwick from Bite Magazine, talking some high school basketball. We'll get back to her next Friday. That's the 20th. We still have games next Friday.
So. There's a lot Thursday, though, I think, too.
Yeah, there could be. But we'll be able to kind of recap this pre-Christmas schedule.
Absolutely.
It goes by, man. The time flies. I can't believe we're at December 13th already.
Crazy.
But here we are. Thanks for listening today, everyone. We appreciate it very much. We'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.